Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Everything School HQ over there in parts unknown. He's all over the place. Who knows where Doug Glanville, former MLB outfielder, 9-year veteran, former MLB first round pick, Penn graduate, played for the Cubs, the Phillies, the Rangers. He's the host of Classes in Session with Doug Glanville, appearing on the Marquee Sports Network. He's the co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Starkville, with Jason Stark on the Athletic Baseball Show. Doug Glanville, how do you even have time to go on this podcast?
See, baseball, we learn how to change hats all the time. So mm-hmm. I just put it on and then I just teleport like wherever I'm going. And then, you know, the family, we have 4 kids. And so I basically am in a car. Mm-hmm. I just grab, you know, if it's a podcast, I'll do it on the side of the road, wherever I need to do it. And it's game on, but loving baseball makes it easy. So I find a way.
I love it. Well, speaking of baseball, I'm curious, with spring training winding down here and going back to your playing days, was spring training something you enjoyed as a player?
I did. I enjoyed spring training. And part of it was just especially once you're kind of settled in as a major leaguer, you're like, okay, I'm not getting cut tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of get to that place, you know, you enjoy it because the fans are out, they're right there. It feels very grassroots and takes you back to when you had that sort of ideal perspective on what baseball could be, certainly as a fan. So I thought it was fun, and it's a day, you finish at noon, you get your workout in, people go on golfing. You're always in Florida or Arizona, so weather's mm-hmm. nice. I found it to be a really fun part, something I look forward to. And and certainly it reflects the stages of your career. You know, early on you're trying to make a team, and then at the end you're holding on. But I even feel fortunate that I even had that kind of trajectory, because it could go sideways on you real quick. But I have a lot of good memories from spring training.
Well, that's what I was going to follow up with. Is it so when you got older, obviously playing in the Major League Baseball for many years, was it more helpful to have a long spring training as you got older to kind of get more acclimated? Or was it more helpful when you were just coming into the league, where you're getting all this awesome instruction from older guys and it's like, oh, we're here. Like, this is happening. I'm about to do it. Or which one was it more beneficial for you?
I found it to be like a bell curve, really. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of your career, you kind of need that experience and you're trying to prove. You may know that your swing is ready for, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, but you're also trying to build something else beyond being productive on the field. You have to learn the defense, the signs, the personnel. And I think at the end of your career, I spent so much time just stretching in the training room, just trying to get mm-hmm. ready for the game. And my body just took a while to just kind of get, used to a lot of things. And the reason to break camp sooner, or wanting camp to break sooner as an older player, is you don't want to blow out in spring training.
Yeah.
But, so I think there's that. But in the middle, I found when I was at my, you know, best playing days, I remember umpires saying to me at second base, like, you're ready to go, man. Spring is over. Like, your swing is hit. And you did feel that way. You're like, I feel like I'm wasting hits or something. But yeah, it's definitely an adjustment that players have to learn how to make, which is in different stages of your career, how does your preparation evolve? And how does your sort of political acumen also evolve with it to learn how to, like, navigate new cultures, new managers, new teams, free agency, all those things that come with it.
I love it. The most overlooked part of being a great center fielder, in your opinion, is what?
Question. I think I would go back to the sort of the jumps and the instincts around positioning. So because you certainly the data is there to say, oh yeah, here's where you play X. But in the end, there's always these little nuances that you have to adapt to side to side to kind of see what's, you know, what does your pitcher have it today? Are they locating? This hitter is hot right now. He's turning on everything. You know, all these things you're factoring in. And then you have to, especially as a center fielder, you have to kind of lead everyone else to kind of be in sync. I think when you have it right, as in any position, but as an outfielder, it's really like a single organism, right? You're moving and you understand the spacing between each other to know, like, oh, that got a little bit big. Let me close that a little bit. You know, I remember I interviewed Albert Almora Jr. one spring training and I was the old head and we were doing actually an interview where I threw the ball and he would show me certain things. So I learned under Jimmy Pearsall, the legendary Jimmy Pearsall, and he was all about, like, your jumps and getting your, you know, all these things. So he wanted you moving all the time. It didn't matter if it was a ball, you should have been anticipating where it's going to be hit. And so I explained all this to Almora and I explained my jumps and how I was always leaning. And Almora Jr. said, let me think about that for a second. Because I said, oh, well, how do you get your jumps, Albert? He's like, well, I'm actually already there. That was his answer. I'm already there. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about it. My mind was like, wait a minute. The data is so precise. He's probably in the best position he should be in. So you have to be careful taking your jumps. You're running away from the high probability spot. Uh-huh. So it became a different thing to think about. So, but I think within that framework of whether you're young, new, today's game, old game, you know, you do have that extra factor of adjusting in game. And that's a big factor that takes into account a lot of things that often takes a lot of time to kind of digest and implement.
Interesting. Do great outfielders remember their greatest saves or greatest errors more as a player?
You know, you're making me do stuff in real time, which is a great sign of great question. It's like, you know, I probably look back and think of great plays. You know, I think of great plays. I imagine if I dropped the ball in game 7 and lost the World Series, then that'd be different. I know certainly today it's harder because everything is social media. It's on, it's boom. But, you know, I think of great plays. Like, I go back to even A-ball. I played in the Carolina League, and I got to play in the storied Bull Durham Park in Durham Bulls. And they always gave out the Durham Bulls gave out the defensive player, the play of the game, and it was always given to the home team. So I was a visitor with Winston-Salem, and they had this, it wasn't even gravel. They had a rock outfield warning track. And I just, you know, I ran back, and they just made this over the catch slide in the rocks. They cut my arms up, and, you know, you could hear the announcer. So at the end of the game, they gave me the gift certificate.
They just had to. Injured in the process. Yeah, they're like, the guy put his body on the line in a different way. We have to give it to the visitor here.
Yeah, so it was cool. So there's a lot of moments like that where, especially when you go back and listen to the announcer and you're like, okay, that definitely was unexpected. So it was probably one of my better plays. So I'd go on the
side. Did you see the gravel coming? Or are you just in catch mode, or you're not even thinking about it?
I knew it was there because in pregame, you're like getting the lay of the land. And I was like, I know it's there, but, you know, I got to do that. Now that was a way better moment than when I played in Cape Cod. And during the game, I tried to be cool. And, you know, you do the slide around the ball like catchers. And then you pop up and throw the ball. Well, I did that in Cape Cod in Bourne, and I went through the fence. Actually went through the fence. And so I got stuck in the fence. So I had to roll the ball to the right fielder. Or center field, whoever was, and the umpire to stop the game so they can lift me, pull up the chain link, and get me out of the fence. So that was a moment I remember. It wasn't an error, but one of the crazy plays.
no one can ever say that Doug Glanville did not give it his all in center field. It didn't matter. Gravel, walls, it didn't matter. Doug Glanville was going to make his way to get the ball. I love it. Final thing before we get into some current baseball stuff. If you had entered MLB in this era, Doug, how different do you think you would be as a player than who you were when you played?
Oh, I'd have to be different if I wanted to have any shot at being around. And quite frankly, it might have been hard for me to make the team, you know, the same way. I mean, you know, there's a lot more power to the game, or, you know, that production.
The launch angle, everything, yeah.
Yeah, launch angle, on base percentage, which was not my friend. Yeah. I would have had to hit. I had to be the 99 version of myself, where just getting hits, and that was just the way. But I think it'd be hard just based on the data and the, you know, the on base and all these things. So I have years where I probably would have fit in better, but I think the bigger picture of my career may have been harder, because I was very aggressive, and you know, I certainly, you know, didn't walk a lot, things like that. So, but, you know, defense, might have, you know, been on a team, play defense, steal some bags, make contact generally. But it's a different game. And I would have definitely approached my preparation differently. There's so much more information. So I think stealing bases, I love this with the pitch clock and all that, that would have been good for me. And, and so there's elements that I would have thrived under. But the thing you realize about the game is, and I used to say every 3 years is a new generation. It's much quicker than larger society's 30 year. You know, you have these real quick moments of oh, wait a minute, now we have a pitch clock. Now we have this. Now shifts, all these things change the complexion of what is seen as how to evaluate players. And you have to adapt throughout your career. My 9 year big league career, I felt like I had to change a lot to really be able to say, okay, this is the culture today. And as you get older, it gets hard to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you take for granted of how many times, even in basketball, where Vince Carter had to evolve over and over again. And I think he has one of the more underrated NBA careers of all time, is to be one of the most athletic guys coming into the league, slam dunk contest guy, not known for his shooting. And then he carves out a 20-year NBA career because he evolved and changed and became a sharpshooter and became a different version of his basketball playing days. I just think it's so much harder than people anticipate for professional athletes. It's not easy to just consistently evolve at your job. A lot of people's jobs, you just if you're an accountant, you wake up and you go to school and you learn accounting, and then you are an accountant for a long time. But if you're a major league baseball player, a national basketball player, it's just different. You have to continually evolve if you want to stay in the league, because like you said, the league changes so much faster than a lot of people I think anticipate.
It's 100% true, and it's a great analogy. And I think of Josh Hader saying, hey, you know what? I know my fastball is blowing people away, but I'm going to add something else, you know, to seam it. I'm going to do these things. It's hard. It's really hard when you're doing well to say, oh, let me change something. You know, why are you changing something? You had a great year. It's just staying ahead. And the guys that do that and are hungry and stay ahead, you know, they can have that longevity. And we sometimes simplify Albert Pujols was just a great player, but you know, you have to adapt. And even these incredible Hall of Famers constantly were rife with insecurity, right? Of just someone looking over your shoulder, the next guy's coming along. Are you going to have it this spring? All of a sudden your bat speed, you just do not know on a certainly year to year basis, but even on a game to game basis, where your confidence could be shot over facing a guy you just don't pick up the ball against. So I don't think it's a comfortable ride to consistency, but there's no doubt you have to put the work in and be very adaptable to be able to have even an inkling of consistency.
Doug, when you look at what the Cubs have done this offseason, do you see a team that's ready to win the NL Central in 2024?
Well, I think they see themselves in that light to be able to win. They part of standing pat for the most part. I mean, Bellinger kind of left and came back, so to speak.
Yeah,
is a lot of confidence in your team. When I looked at their rotation, I watched them a lot last season, I was like, this is a pretty good rotation. They can win with this rotation. They may not, Justin Steele has emerged as that ace, but early on you're like, well, who's the kind of ace? But then you have Hendricks, the experience, who just reinvents, is a perfect example.
Yeah,
I see them as a team that could to win. They need that offensive consistency like any team does, but that kind of bit them a lot last year. But yeah, they're going to be in the mix. And they were so close last year. Maybe mm-hmm. at the last window, it was like a correction of overachievement. But I thought they were actually good enough to get in. And they just, you know, faltered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At the end, a lot of it was just, you know, their pitching and their depth got them. So, you know, I like the Cubs. They're going to be a team that's going to make some noise. I don't have them necessarily a World Series champion,
yeah.
But I don't know what moves they're going to make at the trade deadline. You know, it just depends on what they're willing to do.
What excites you most about the lineup with the Cubs? We like the rotation there. What is there in maybe another level Dansby Swanson can still get to, old friend Dansby here in Atlanta? Is there another level he was funny though this week. I don't know if you saw his comments about like Mookie playing short now and like, oh, I guess I'm not gonna be. I was joking with my buddy John Taylor from Leah Fangraphs last night where I'm like, I hope this becomes a thing for Mookie because he's another just like all he's just such a unbelievable athlete, almost a Tennessee Volunteer years ago. But he like moving positions to take all-star spots from different folks every year just because Mookie, he's like, I'm gonna be an all-star at third base this year, I'm gonna be an all-star at first next year, and just take different guys' spots. And right. I appreciate Dansby talking about that.
Well, spots and win their gold glove, that's the other problem
that too.
Mookie, he's we just win the gold glove. Guys just renaissance man and super athletes, superhuman. But yeah, with the Cubs, Swanson is a guy that, you know, he can be a little offensively streaky, but he's not streaky in his effort, his approach, his focus. You know, he's going to contribute whether he's hitting or not. You know, the first time I really met Dansby was at a Padres Braves game in San Diego, and I was calling the game, and you know, he's in the cage, and I just, you know, I saw him the game before. We did Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday hit two hustle doubles. Like, they only were doubles because he busted out of the box. So I just wanted to go up and say, hey, man, I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but I appreciate how you approach the game. So that's what I said. And it was in between rounds. And they said, hey, Dansby. He said, man, hold on a second. I got a story to tell. So, all right, I waited. And he comes back over and he says, you know what? I was a Braves fan growing up, grew up in the area. And you, one time when I was like 10, you signed an autograph for me on my scorebook. And I always remembered that. That was it. Like, that's, you know. So it's sort of like you just think about like how he digests the game and his long track record of like memory and strategy and winning. Swanson's obsessed with winning, you know, and in a good way. And so a guy like that has a great year, and Bellinger repeats what he's doing. You have Suzuki kind of going next level. You resolve kind of the first base questions, right? There's a lot of like if then statements, but you know, this is a team that, you know, Hap has his all-star, you know, finds it again, so on. Then it's all about Craig Counsell being the X factor as a manager. Yeah. Kind of, boom, bring it together, be at their best. And, you know, I bet on Craig Counsell. He's really good.
I can't wait for that first series between the Brewers and the Cubs, going with the Cubs in Milwaukee, because that's just something you don't see in baseball very much. You just, especially interdivision kind of trade, this is a totally different kind of scenario here. Man, I can't wait for that first series. Are you surprised that Fangraphs and Pecota projections like the Cardinals the most coming into the season in the AL Central?
I am surprised. I know they got the method to their madness, and they're really pretty accurate. So I'm not, you know, I know they missed on the Giants a couple years ago, but they had an explanation. Everybody was old. Why are you guys having these career years all at the same time?
Yeah.
So I get it. Cardinals were a disaster last year. Unequivocally, but you know where I see, you know, their upside you can't deny, like, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of kind of versatility in there. And I think, you know, certainly certain statements, if then statements, have to work out. But, you know, the talent's there. And I worry a little bit about the rotation in, like, okay, you know, Lance Lynn, you know, he gave up 1,000 home runs last year. You know, will he find it again? I know one of the correction he was trying to make, and, you know, at the suggestion of the Dodgers, is like, hey, throw that fastball, you know, like, attack, you know, get there. You're kind of trying to do too much with it. And his fastball can be multiple pitches, for example. You know, Michaelis, guys like that, you know. So you have the question mark about who they're going to be, you know. So I think that's where, I guess, quote, the surprise was, because you were relying on, you know, some question marks to come through. But then when you go in the nitty gritty of that lineup, you're like, wow, there's a lot of talent here. Like Jordan Walker, guys. So, you know, I do understand that, you know, Newt Barr, you know, starting off, you know, at his best when he's healthy and at his best. And then a lot of the pieces that come together behind it. So, yeah, I think, and then their division, some question marks, right? You know, Brewers, will they return? I think they're going to be really good, but different manager. Cubs, you know, had that fall off at the end. I think the Reds are a lot better, but they're young. And the Pirates are always, like, you know, a mystery team. So I think within all that, you see more wins for the Cardinals. And that's part of it.
I mean, you could talk yourself into four different teams winning this division. I think it'd be really hard. I mean, outside of the most diehard Pirates fan talking themselves into a divisional run, I think that's there's probably still a couple years away. But I mean, that's what I think is so interesting about the NL Central this year, is I think when you look across Major League Baseball, a lot of divisions. I mean, well, with Garrett Cole now on the sideline for a couple months, the AL East opens up potentially a lot more out of the gate here. But I mean, you look at it and I'm like, I think this is the only division where four teams you could see yourself, or you could see actually winning in. And I mean, the Cardinals, with their older starting pitching and with that kind of gamble, it's just, I think about the Mets last year, right? Where the Mets had this all-time older starting rotation and it backfired. And there's something, if it goes well, then great. The Cardinals should have a great year, but you could also see this getting a little awry very quickly in St. Louis, right? I mean, it's just, it's a quiet, big gamble that they did this offseason.
It is. And like, look, Contreras, for example, you know, coming in as a receiver, whole new system, Yadier Molina, you know, retiring basically. That was a huge challenge for them, because it's like, you have to, you know, when you had a generation of Cardinals players and an organization built around a kind of one-man machine behind home plate that could manage everything. And then it's, how do you even come into that system, right? You had to basically build a new system.
Yep.
And I think it was really a challenge. And so what was the pitching like? It's hard to tell, because they had such a huge transition at the catching position, I think, and losing Molina. So, you know, I do think that is a opportunity for big growth. You mentioned the Yankees, you know, Garrett Cole going down. You know, it's like, that's a whole, they might better go get Blake Snell, like, right now. It's like, and look, I don't know if the Cardinals were in the running for Snell, but hey, you know, get that, like, exclamation point.
Yeah.
And then you're a different ball club. So Cardinals go, you know, they play to win. I mean, sometimes you can't even see that, you know, the tea leaves are kind of, but they find ways to execute. And I think Ollie Marmol is a good manager. I think he's going to be a good manager for a long time. He's very transparent. He's straight up, and he doesn't miss anything. I mean, he studies, and it just was, you know, just a disaster for him last year. I don't see that repeating.
Final one here. Is there a path to the Phillies winning the NL East this season, or the Braves just going to have too much firepower for the Phillies to keep up?
There's definitely a path. I mean, you know, I watched the Phillies last year, and I'm like, this is definitely one of the top three teams in the game. You look at the lineup, I mean, ridiculous. And, you know, Marsh down there, Brendan Marsh is like, he's a good player. You know, they have a lot more depth than it may appear in the outfield. You know, I think it was great that Harper took over first base and gave Schwarber a chance to DH in all these ways. They've rotated around. And they're pitching, Zach Wheeler, Nola. I mean, Suarez is like big time game. He loves the postseason. You know, I think Sanchez takes a leap, and they have a phenomenal bullpen. So, yeah, I think they can be Like, if they won the division, I wouldn't bat an eye. I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, how? I mean, yeah, the Braves are loaded as they are, but, you know, Fried's, you know, hurt a lot, and, you know, Morton's kind of up there, and, you know, I don't know what their rotation was, a big question mark.
Yeah,
the whole time, and it eventually caught them. So, as
Chris
was the Dodgers,
we hope. Like
Chris Sale,
he's
right,
been good
exactly.
This spring, but I mean, we haven't seen a long Chris Sale season in years.
Right. Big questions. I mean, look, they got great coaching. I mean, they really do coach. So yeah. I think you get guys like, you know, out of nowhere, young guys come out and hold it together. But in the end, you kind of need that, like, that third starter postseason, right? Yeah. You need that third guy. It's not that they're going to go nine innings. It's that they set up the bullpen, right? And they prevent the bullpen from imploding. And, you know, the Braves are just like, not quite there. And look, the Dodgers, I mean, what a great team. But that's what it got them last year. Like, they basically had like four all-stars on the shelf all year. Mm-hmm. They had no rotation. And they're going in. They had to go get billions, spend billions to get another guy. I'm like, wait a minute. You had Walker Buehler and Trevor Bauer and Arias and, you know, Gonsolin. I mean, but for all kinds of reasons, those guys weren't available. And so who wins when you lose four out of five of your rotation? Pretty much nobody.
Yeah, baseball's hard like that. Like, you do everything right. Like, even a team like the Dodgers, and it's still little things can just trip you up, and you're like, all right, I guess we gotta change things up and be a little bit more aggressive or do this or that and do whatever we can. Let's just go. Let me see here. Let me check my notes. Can we get a Shohei Ohtani into the fold? Is that going to fit into like that? This is an easy thing, and then we'll see if he's pitching again. But you just forget. Like, it's, I mean, as a baseball historian here, Doug, like, is there going to be a better 1-2-3 lineup? Like, it's ridiculous. The Dodgers are going to run out Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman at the top. In my lifetime, I'm 32. I don't recall a top three in their prime as dangerous as those three.
I have no response to that. I mean, it's like, I certainly in modern game, you ever see anything like it? I mean, I don't know where, you know, Ruth, you know, 1-2-3 and the Yankees, 27 Yankees. I mean, this is incredible. And, you know, it was already like Betts and Freeman. You're like, oh my goodness, how do you get through this lineup? Then you throw Ohtani in, like, as if he's like sprinkler on your ice cream or something. It's like, what? I mean, so this is a lineup that's scary. And that's going to be just a lot of fun, and I'm sure they'll put up some runs. But once again, you got to pitch. You got to pitch. And you know, Padres, Dylan Cease over there, like, they can knock you right out in a heartbeat. So
I love AJ Preller. AJ Preller is fantastic. He's never done. He might give up Juan Soto in the same offseason that he trades for Dylan Cease. I love AJ
Preller. Like, whatever. He's like, I think Preller's going to wear like a disguise, you know, at games. Mm-hmm. I think he just might just do something like that and be like, I'm just going to disguise myself and then make another trade.
You know, I'm here for it. He's different. He's a different type of GM. I love diversity. I love versatility. And I love guys who just see AJ Preller is just a totally different kind of GM. No one else operates like AJ Preller in San Diego. I love that.
No. He's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Yeah. I might actually pitch today if I have to.
I might. And if you think I'm done acquiring shortstops, you're wrong. I'm going to get one more. You think I'm done? I'll get another one. He'll play second. He'll play first. I don't care. We're going to keep acquiring shortstops. But Doug, this has been fantastic. I greatly appreciate the time. What can the good folks look out from you all across the internet, the classroom, everything else this week?
I'm everywhere. I mean, well, I have a DougGlanville.com website. Mm-hmm. So that gives a little tidbits, but, you know, ESPN Radio on the weekends, lead analyst for Sunday Night Baseball and Radio. Mm-hmm. I do Classes in Session, a monthly show for Marquee Sports Network, which is the Cubs. And I'll do some game. I won't call them, but mostly be in studio for Marquee here and there. Mm-hmm. I teach at University of Connecticut, a sport and society class, which will end as the season kicks in. But I've been doing that for 7 years at different schools. And, you know, podcast Starkville, tune in usually Tuesday with my buddy and mentor, Jason Stark, who I loved as a kid at University of Pennsylvania baseball, reading his columns in the Philadelphia Inquirer. So I'm pretty much everywhere and I love it. And it's pretty much all about baseball. So this is the time of year that I have a lot of joy in my life.
I love it. Well, enjoy the start to the season. Don't be too busy. Get some walks in, get some breaks, go to Asheville, go get some mountain time in there to refresh a little bit. It's a long season, as you know, Doug. But I appreciate the time, and we'll have to check back in again soon.
All right, Chase. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.